Hey Potters, welcome to episode 279 of Cosplot, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay!
Welcome to summer, everybody!
Woo, officially. Yay, boo.
Yes, it is now officially. There is no yay.
Yay and boo. Boo. It is either really stinking hot or you're getting hail somewhere. So it's just messy.
Right. Both of which are terrible when you're trying to work on cosplay, either inside or outside. Which I fully admit, speaking of cosplay updates, I have very little to show you, and there are two reasons for that. One is because I have this lovely cup of fruit punch sitting next to me, which is very not conducive to white silk dresses. And I didn't really want to tempt fate, because we all know that if I had my dress sitting on my lap where I can show it to you, this would totally fall over on top of it and ruin all of my hard work and make me cry.
And so Amber would start swearing, which she has not done on the podcast, so.
I would be tearing off the headset and you would not hear me curse. I would be in another room.
Quickly muting herself and then going into the other room.
Yeah, I would be taking the dress over into the shower and trying to frantically rinse off what I could and fail miserably, I'm sure. Yes, but the other thing is because, as we mentioned, it's been very hot. It was 100 plus degrees every day last week. Mm-hmm. I genuinely had no energy and just wanted to sit in a tub of cold water and not do anything because it was just so humid and hot, and I just did not feel like working on cosplay at all. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes you just don't feel like working on cosplay and you don't have to. I did note one thing that I forgot when I talked about the dress last time, because I have fully attached the skirt now. I did finish that at least. But I remembered that I had forgotten to finish off the bottom of the dress, which is very important when you have silk because it unravels like no one's business.
It frays like crazy if you do not secure it.
Yes, which I suddenly noticed as I was, you know, holding the dress up and admiring my work and just going, why does my foot tickle? What is this streak? Oh.
Oops.
So I have been taking, you know, strips of silk and satin and working on making the binding strips for the bottom. So that's what this is. And that's what I have been pinning and working on because I don't have any strips that are long enough to go around 8 yards worth of fabric. Because remember, it's full circle skirt. So I'm going to have to piece it together. But that's okay you won't see the seams anyway in the binding tape that I'm making. I do have enough strips to go all the way around. I just have to gradually piece them together and then sew them on there. And then the dress will be done. Huzzah. And then I can finish gluing the portions of the corset and that will be done. So all I will have left will be the fancy petal sleeves, which I still kind of have to engineer.
Yeah, you have to finagle it.
Yeah, I will have to drape a pattern for those. I'll have to home make a pattern because there is no commercial pattern for those. So I will have to do that. And I'm going to have to go out and buy some PVC pipe for the staff.
Yay!
Because the PVC length that I have right now is 5 feet. The staff needs to be 6. So I will have to go out and buy another length of PVC pipe and cut it. You usually buy PVC pipe in 8-foot lengths. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to get it, fit it in my car somehow, which usually ends up being wedged lengthwise in my car. And then I have a PVC pipe cutter, so I'll just lop off 2 feet and that'll be it.
Okay.
And then spray painting time. Yay! Hopefully on a day when it's not 80 degree dew point outside.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Well, they said it's supposed to be getting a little bit cooler relatively for the next week. So hopefully I can get it done in that time period. And if not, I'll just wait until another time period when the humidity at least comes down. Because I can just do it in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I've been working on. How about you?
I have been trying to work on my book. I've had a lot of life things coming up, so it's been difficult for me to do this. But I've been working on the binding and just finagling what that's going to look like and creating all of these ridiculous templates and testing things. I do have more foam. I got a little foam dowel. Yeah, buddy.
I love foam.
It is the best thing. It is so light. It's actually pretty sturdy, even though it's a little bendy. Once I start attaching all the pieces to it, it's actually fairly sturdy. So I don't imagine that this will be a problem once it's all attached. But yeah, so I started cutting out things and I'm like, okay, we got some circles. We got these weird little keyhole things. I started putting them all together and I was like, these look stupid and not what I want whatsoever. Why is my brain not working? And just, I started thinking in Valerie terms, like, okay, how could I make this work? Well, let's think about it like paper craft. If I just do a bunch of flat pieces and then glue the edges together, it can create a 3D shape. And that is exactly what I started doing, was just instead of having these god-awful circles that went nowhere, I'm like, oh, this looks more like what I'm trying to achieve than this stupid little circle. So that's exactly what I'm going to start doing, is just flat shapes, curving them, gluing them together. I don't have a rotary tool, so I can't like make nice even cuts. Instead, I'm going to be using the bucket of foam clay that I have to kind of help me smooth out some of the edges and make some of the details on it. So that'll be just fine. And hopefully that'll help me kind of move through the process with a little bit more ease and precision. And then I'll feel better about it too, because it'll look more like what I'm trying to recreate. Yay, good stuff. So I've got the good chunk of it figured out. So I just need to sit down and start gluing everything. And now I got to work what these are going to work on for this. I don't know. So I know that this is the bird piece. It is going to be the bird piece. It works perfectly. Not sure what size foam I'm going to cut it out of yet. It might be 2 of 4. It might be an 8. It might be a bunch of 2s. I don't know. They're all going to get glued together. That's for sure. Same thing with the back piece. The back piece is weird because it's pretty flat and then it curves. So I think all I'm going to end up doing is just taking the tail of this and making it extra freaking long and then kind of wrapping it around the dowel and hoping for the best. I think that's what the plan is. I just got to do a couple of test runs. I have so much 2 millimeter craft foam that I can play test as much as I want to until something works. But I know there's going to be a lot of scoring involved. It looks so much scoring. Yay. I'm not looking forward to this whatsoever because this is the most annoying part. It's the part that I was really not looking forward to because I knew it was going to be a challenge for me. The front of the book looks amazing and I'm really happy with it, but I knew how it was going to come together. It's just like, oh man.
Foam work is just kind of like that in general, especially when you have to use 3D shapes as the end result. You kind of just have to play with it because there are multiple different ways that you can try it, but it doesn't mean that the end result will look the way that you expect it to.
Exactly.
So you just kind of have to play with it and hope for the best.
Because these weird little key pieces, like if you look at the book from the side, it looks accurate. But when you look at it from the top, it is not accurate in any way, shape, or form. And the moment I tried to make it thicker, it becomes thicker than these pieces, which need to be the thickest. And it's like, well, this doesn't work. Brain no brainy this way. So yeah, I'm definitely going the paper craft method and just doing flat pieces, curving them and gluing them down, and then I can shape them that way. Some of these weird pieces like the bird, I already knew foam clay is going to cover it because it has to have more detail work in it, so that doesn't bother me. Like, I have to just squish a bunch of craft foam together, make some messy glue spots, and it gets covered, it's fine. No one's going to notice the mess underneath it. It's just a matter of sitting down and doing it while I'm not melting. That's the key thing at this point. So I'm hoping I can get a good chunk of the book binding done before next time, because at least I have a plan now. So that should get put together pretty quickly. It's just all of the extra work behind it as I start crying.
This is the part that takes the longest, though. Yes. Once you figure it out,
it goes fairly quickly. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I got for now. Hopefully I'll actually have something more entertaining to show next time.
Likewise, assuming I don't melt first.
The non-melting thing would be great. If the humidity could stay low like it normally does, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Also, I see you and your song reference, Starman.
So many already.
I got you. All right. Shall we get into today's topic?
Yes. Our topic is, let me scroll back up, because we originally called it, well, you called it Overcooked, which I thought was great. It's our Cooking for Cons, the 2023 version, what you can cook in your hotel room. And it is very much going to be Amber centric because this is like her wheelhouse. She does a lot of cooking meals in her room. She knows it. She's an expert at it. I'm not so much, because I tend to make my things at home and bring them to the convention. They're done in such a way that they don't need to be reheated. They don't need to be cooled. I don't do any of the extra work of cooking in the hotel room. But it's also pretty rare that I actually stay in a hotel room. If it's a local event, I tend to just drive home. Like, to me, it's like, I don't want to spend time in the hotel. I just want to go back home and rest that way. Because I'm like, hey, I get a nice meal out of it. If it's out of town, I haven't had to really meal prep because it's been in places where there were enough food options available that I didn't have to worry. So meal prepping for me wasn't too much of an issue. And if anything, I always still bring granola bars with me.
This is usually because I spent so many years hauling all of my equipment to teach panels at hotels. And so I'd have to stay in the hotel room because I had to keep all my stuff up there.
Amber used to bring a lot of stuff for her panels. Amber is very much one of those panelists where it's not just telling, she shows you.
Right.
So it was like she would have boxes and boxes and a hand cart with her of all of her stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't do slide decks. No. I do it in front of you.
She's very hands-on.
Yeah. I'm aware that people have different learning styles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So my part here is I will be asking questions of Amber, just kind of understand what her process is, what she's found, because there's going to be new stuff, obviously, especially since hotels have changed, the different type of coffee makers that are now available, the fact that some places no longer offer mini fridges and microwaves anymore. So what are the other options? And then I'll keep an eye on chat as well. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to throw them in there and I'll make sure that Amber sees them.
Yep. And if you have anything to add as well in the audience, if you have other cooking tips that I've missed, because that's very, very possible, please feel free to also put them in chat so that we can make sure that we share them with the audience as well that is watching this during the recording.
I think really the only thing I can add for the cooking stuff is like, make sure whatever food you make isn't potent, like no onions, no fish, no garlic, because you're just going to annoy the hotel and you're going to annoy the people who come in next.
I was going to say, definitely if you have roommates, be cognizant of
that. Oh gosh, yes.
You do have to stay in the room with them and not everybody has the same taste in food or tolerance in food. If you're by yourself, it's a little different, but it's also still good to be respectful.
Yes. It's like bringing fish on an airplane. Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Also, please don't burn popcorn.
Oh man.
I've done that. Not in a hotel room, but I have burnt popcorn and had somebody grill me over it. So
I think that's a requirement for college.
All right. So the very first thing that I wanted to do is just drop a couple of don'ts before I get into the do's. Because these are really important and these will head off a few problems that come later when I start talking about appliances. The first thing is don't forget utensils, napkins, and condiments. Mm. I've done that. And it's very hard to eat when you don't have utensils. It's very hard to clean when you don't have napkins. And food tastes really bland if you don't have any condiments because they don't give you any in the hotel room. They'll give you complimentary tea and coffee service in your hotel room, but they don't give you things like salt and pepper. Mm. So make sure that you remember to bring those things and also either bring dish soap or a pre-soaped dish sponge, which they do sell. They're for camping.
Yes.
So you may need to go to the sporting goods section of your local store to find those things. And they're very, very, very useful. And this is because if you don't want to bring disposable plates and cups and things like that to eat on, you're going to need to wash your dishes. They're not good if you leave them out overnight and then go to use them again the next morning. That's gross and also unsanitary. So you will have to wash them. The second thing is, no matter what appliance you use, whether you bring your own or when it's in the hotel or when they provide it in the room for you, don't leave any appliances unattended for any reason. I don't care how safe you think it is. I don't care if you've done it before. I don't care if you think nothing's going to happen. If there is no one in your hotel room, don't leave it on. Period. There are too many accidents that have happened where something goes wrong with the appliance, a spark lights, and then you have a giant fire. And that will ruin your con much faster than having to wait 30 extra minutes for your food. So just don't leave them on if you're not in the room or like one of your roommates is in the room. The third thing is don't use open flame for any reason.
Mm.
And it's for the same reason. So in other words, don't bring a butane lighter to try and cook food. Don't bring a propane stove. Don't use anything that has open flame at all for any reason in the hotel room. Just don't. It prevents problems later. And also the smoke detectors don't like you. And then the last thing is, if you need a refrigerator, that's fine. You can ask for one. But if the hotel only provides them for medical needs and you don't have a medical need, please don't ask. Please don't take them. Those are specifically for diabetics and people whose medicine needs to be refrigerated. And so please don't take them from the people that need them. Those are all my don'ts. That's all. Oh, let's get into the do's.
Before we get into the do's, since you brought up refrigerators really quickly, because while I was researching this, I did find that there was a study published 2 years ago about which types of hotels still offer a refrigerator. And if you stay in a 4- and 5-star hotel, you're more likely to have a fridge in your room versus a 1-, 2-, and 3-star hotel. The lower the stars, the less likely you have it. So I think like 1-star was like 9%, whereas a 5-star hotel, you were like in the 95%. So it's said that 53% of all hotels in the United States still have a refrigerator or a mini fridge in the room. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. And it does exclude like the extended stay places, which have like the full kitchens and banquettes and all that. Right. This is simply just a single hotel room. Mm-hmm. So that's kind
of
cool.
And I actually, I set those aside outside of my research, the extended places, because they'll generally have kitchens or kitchenettes where you'll have everything that you need anyway. Mm-hmm. This is for hotel rooms that are generally not stocked that way. Mm-hmm. And if you really need a refrigerator, you can get the little lunchbox-sized refrigerator type things that you can plug into your car socket. And you can bring those into the hotel room with you, because a lot of those will also come with standard plug adapters so that you can plug it into a standard wall socket. It depends on how much money you're willing to spend, though.
Yeah.
Because you can get by without a refrigerator in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the time. Same.
If it comes with a refrigerator, it's a benefit. But if it doesn't, it's not a huge loss. That's all. Okay. Appliance time. There are so many ways that you can do this depending on your dietary needs and how much space that you have to pack and how many people will be in your hotel room. And there are several different kinds of appliances that you can bring with you. Most of these are not supplied by the hotel. The only ones that will be supplied by the hotel on a normal basis will be the coffee maker, whether it's the glass carafe or whether it's the Keurig machine. Most places do Keurig machines now. Or microwaves, which, like Val said, kind of like the refrigerator problem, the more stars a hotel room has, the more likely you are to get a microwave with it as well. Not all places will supply one. And those that do, they're not always full-size microwaves.
Right.
Sometimes they're the smaller, more compact varieties. And you need to pay attention to those, because the wattage of the microwave will affect how long you have to cook the food. And undercooked food is a real problem at hotels. Mm-hmm. You don't want to poison yourself and make yourself miserable for the rest of the con. But I'll get to that when I talk about microwaves. The first one I wanted to talk about is the Keurig / coffee pot, because that's the one that you will nearly always find in every hotel room. Mm-hmm. If you have the glass carafe variety, which are kind of the old-fashioned ones, you won't find them as much anymore.
So
you have many more options. And the reason for that is because of the hot plate on the bottom that warms the carafe. It can be used like a personal griddle. Mm-hmm. You can make all sorts of things using either the carafe or the hot plate underneath it. Basically anything that you can make with hot water, so things like pasta, rice, steamed veggies, oatmeal, soups, hot drinks. It doesn't have to be coffee. You can have like hot cocoa, you can have cider, that sort of thing. All of those can be made with the glass carafe kind of coffee maker. Plus, you can also make things like scrambled eggs, quesadilla, pancakes, and grilled cheese. So those are pretty full meals there that you can make with just that appliance. You pretty much just boil the water, add the thing, and then you cook it for the amount of time that thing requires, depending on what it is, because pasta takes a different amount of time to cook than rice does, for example. So you'll just pay attention to the instructions on the food. If you're going to use the hot plate, please make sure that you clean it before you cook on it, because you don't know what's been there, and after, because you don't want to leave any food behind. You will get vermin. You'll get ants, you'll get roaches, all that fun stuff that you don't want to see in your hotel room. So please be courteous and clean it before and after. This is why you have the dish soap and the sponges. If you have the Keurig variety, basically you can still make anything that you can make with hot water. So the same sorts of things, the pasta, the rice, the veggies, You can poach eggs in it if you have something to hold the water in. So if you have, sometimes the hotels will even give you cups to go with it, either styrofoam cups or the glass cups, depending on which one. You can poach eggs in that. Please don't cook in the glasses, though. The glasses are not stove safe. Even if they're made of glass, they're not generally Pyrex. So you don't want to cook with them. But you can, you know, pour the water into them and use them like that. I highly recommend, as somebody who has used a coffee maker like this before, run one or two batches of water through first before you cook with the water, because there may be coffee grounds left over or residue inside the reservoir where you put the water, and your food will taste nasty if you don't run a couple cycles of just regular water through it just to clean it. The second piece of advice I have for you is to use purified water. Tap water may not give you the results that you want in terms of taste, because a lot of places have really interestingly tasting tap water, if I can put it that way.
That's very nicely put. Tap water, water tastes different in every single city and municipality and district that you go to. It never tastes the same everywhere.
It'll season your food.
Maybe oh, yeah.
What you want it to.
It'll season it.
It will. So when you go to clean the coffee maker, you can run tap water through it for that, because you're not going to use that water. When you go to actually cook, use either distilled water or purified drinking water, please. Your food will taste so much better for it. And then you use it in much the same way that you use the glass carafe kind, because you basically just boil the water, pour it into a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm really a big fan of things like the little mac and cheese cups, where you literally just pour the water in and you stir it around and you get thing. You don't have to have mac and cheese. If you're looking for something healthier, they also have veggie cups that are the same way, where you just pour the water in and it steams the veggies and then you eat it. They can do it with like corn, broccoli, carrots. Yes. They brought all those in the cups.
Yeah, there's a bunch of noodles that are just like that.
Exactly. Those are my favorite to take on me with trips, because you don't have to refrigerate them.
Nope.
And all you need is hot water and you're done. And they cook in like 70 seconds usually. Just pour hot water, wait 70 seconds, stir around, eat. Those are great if you don't want to wait around for your food. So if you don't want to have to like cook your food.
Right.
So those will be the best option for the coffee makers, because those will always be there. You eat kind of like you would if you were out camping and you wouldn't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The second appliance. This is probably going to give you the most options outside of a microwave. And that's a portable electric burner or hot plate. I will say this once. Do not use a camp stove. No propane. And the reason for that is because fire hazard, and because those produce carbon monoxide, which is literally deadly in enclosed spaces. There's a reason they tell you not to use them inside tents.
Mm-hmm.
Do not bring a camp stove with you. Just don't. Get an electric burner or a hot plate. You just plug them in. They're very low wattage. You can either get a double burner so you can get enough for two, or if you're a little bit low on space when you go traveling, you can get a single burner. And you use them the same way you use a stove at your house. You can just bring a pot, cook things over the burner, and that's it. And that will give you a huge range of options of things that you can cook. Again, anything that you need hot water with, but you can also cook other things that don't necessarily need water, because now you can use a pot.
Sure.
So you can saute things if you wanted to, or if you bring a pan, then you can do all sorts of like skillet stir fries and that sort of thing. Once you have a burner, it's very, very easy. You don't have to clean the burner. You do need to let it cool off before you pack it away, please. Also beware of small children getting near it, or flammable fabrics like your cosplay. Something to be aware of. And they only cost $15 to $20. Mm-hmm. So they're very inexpensive. They're very portable. They're great to take with you. If you don't want to go the hot plate or the burner option because you don't want to bring a pot with you, that's okay. You can get an electric griddle instead, like the things that your parents cooked pancakes on when you were a kid. They're the same ones that you can plug into the wall. Griddles are usually a lot larger because it's harder to find small, like, personal-sized griddles.
Yeah.
you'll generally find those that are the same size as the double burners. So they'll be about 20 inches long. So if you're a little bit low on space as you're going to pack as you go to the con, griddle's probably not going to be your best option, but it does allow you to make a lot of food, like pancakes, like quesadillas, like grilled cheese, like omelets, things like that, that can be really healthy for you. And that's one of the better things you can do for yourself at a con, is cook healthy. You need to have not only carbs, but also protein, please. Mm-hmm. Ramen is not a meal by itself.
Eat your fruits and veggies, kids.
You'll feel better because just nutritionally, carbs are meant to be burned. And once the carbs are gone, you're going to feel miserable unless you have something to carry you through until your next meal. So you can bring things like canned chicken or tuna, or you can bring nuts. You can bring canned beans. None of those need to be refrigerated. And just sprinkle them on whatever you choose to make, and it'll add just a little bit of protein. It doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to bring steak with you. Just enough. And it will really make a difference, I promise you. They actually do make now, I found this when I was doing my research and it was so cute. They have a personal sized skillet slash noodle maker. And it's like 6 to 8 inches across. It's a little electric skillet. So you plug it in just like the burner or the griddle. And it has a little lid that you put on top. But you can make like stir fry in it, or you can make an egg scramble in it, or you can make steamed veggies in it. And it's just enough for one person. And the advantage to that is that it cooks faster. If you're cooking for one, your food gets done a lot faster than if you're cooking for, say, four.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the disadvantage to that on the other side is that if you have three other roommates and you only have a little thing that cooks for one, you have to do it four times. So the food will take longer, ultimately.
It'll take longer, but...
Yeah, whoever drew the short straw is going to have to eat last, and their food is going to take the longest.
But it might be worth consider it.
Consider that if you have roommates that you may want to either bring a larger appliance or have somebody else also bring one so that it goes faster. Hungry roommates tend to be grumpy roommates. I like the little personal-sized appliances, though. I really do. They're also a lot faster to clean when you have to wash them. Speaking of personal-sized appliances, I'm going to pull this out. This is the one that people usually bring with them to cons. You can bring a rice cooker. And you can see the size of the box is actually not that big compared to me.
Okay, let me make it clear. Amber can bring her rice cooker. I can't bring my rice cooker because it's a 10 cup. I cook a lot of rice.
I have the portable size rice cooker.
Mine has a handle on it, but it's just hilarious because, like, it's 10 cup. This is not portable.
Mine has a handle on it, but it's specifically meant to be personal size because, again, when I go to cons, I like to bring the smaller appliances because storage space is at a premium since I'm also packing, like, regular clothes for my hotel stay and all of my cosplay crap. So having smaller appliances is better, but also because, again, it cooks faster. And when I'm coming back to my hotel room at the end of the day and I'm exhausted and I just take off my cosplay and I'm just like face down on the bed and I don't want to cook, at least this will make it cook faster. I'll get to my food faster. Something I wanted to note for cooking rice at cons, because there's also another way that people like to do it at conventions. Please don't use a wok.
Oh, no.
I know that people really enjoy woks, and I know that there are many people who are very good at cooking with them, and this is not meant to be a comment on your skill whatsoever. The reason I say don't use woks in hotel rooms is twofold. One is because they're meant to cook very hot, and there's a very real risk of injury if something goes flying out of that wok at somebody by accident. And you can get serious burns from it because woks are meant to cook very hot. But the second is that also remember that there's cosplay in the room. There are other people's cosplay in the room. You really don't want something to accidentally spill on them because woks are meant to be used with oil. And oil is not easy to get out of any sort of clothing, let alone cosplay. So it's just one of those, you know, same reason I don't have cosplay while I'm holding fruit punch. You don't want to tempt fate with having very hot oil in a wok next to a bunch of really nice cosplays. So have a rice cooker instead. Get a steamer. Generally, the rice will cook between 20 and 40 minutes, depending on how much you're cooking and the size of the rice cooker. So even then, that's not a bad amount of time to wait for a meal, because then you can take your rice and you can chuck whatever you want in it. You can put beans, you can put veggies, you can put chicken, you can put whatever you want into the rice and just have a complete meal in one pot. One pot meals are really what you want at hotels. They're very, very easy to do. They're usually nutritious for you to eat, and they're easy to clean up. So rice cooker, if you can't bring a coffee pot and you can't bring a hot plate, rice cooker would be my number three.
Yeah. And depending on which rice cooker you get, because there are so many out there, the nicer rice cookers, you can do a lot of cooking in them. Steaming up your vegetables too, and like, oh my goodness.
Exactly. That's I was about to go there, is that you can cook things that are not rice in a rice cooker. You can steam veggies. You can steam beans. You can also make desserts like pudding.
You can make cakes.
You can make all sorts of things, because effectively a rice cooker is just a fancy steamer.
Yes.
So they're very, very useful things to bring. And they're generally one of the more compact appliances. And speaking of compact appliances.
She has so much show and tell for this.
I hope I don't drop this. There we go. Because it has a glass inner container. This is a slow cooker.
Ah, it's a baby one.
Yes. Alternatively, crock pot.
Crock pot.
Yes. And this is actually a little bit more than a personal sized one. This would be enough for two people. And they come, and this is why I didn't want to drop it. They come with a hard inner shell that you cook things in. And so these are fully electric. There's no fire whatsoever. And they don't get as hot as woks. And these work really similar to rice cookers. The only difference is that you can cook a little bit more in a slow cooker than you can in a rice cooker, because rice cookers are generally for just steaming things, and slow cookers are for a little bit more than that. But slow cookers can also be set to simmer something. Please don't use them like that in a hotel room, because that's leaving it unattended. You will be tempted to take this lovely thing and put a meal in it. And as soon as you wake up and go, oh, I'll just set this for 8 hours. And by the time I'm done with the con and I come back to my hotel room, it'll be ready for me. Please don't do that, because you're leaving this unattended again. And these can catch fire just as easily as any other appliance. Or things can go wrong. Or worse, if there's some sort of malfunction, if you put your meal in it at breakfast and there's a malfunction in this at noon, and say your hotel room loses power, the timer in the slow cooker is not on anymore, which means your food is not going to be cooked when you come back at dinner. So it's just better, just do it while you're in the room. Slow cookers don't have to cook slowly.
No, they don't.
You can program them to cook something in 60 minutes or even 2 hours if you wanted to. It doesn't have to be 8 hours. Depends on the slow cooker. If you have an Instant Pot, those are also great.
Be very careful with them.
Yes, because they cook under very high pressure.
Yes.
But the reason I didn't put Instant Pots on my list is because compared to slow cookers, this was about $20. Instant Pots are much more expensive.
Yeah.
They can be worth it, don't get me wrong. So if you want to invest in one, not just for convention going, but for home use, if you have one that you can bring with you, go right ahead. Please do. Because Instant Pots are even better than slow cookers. But still, like, it's a portable appliance and you can cook so many things in it that they're very good to have. All right. Now we're around to microwaves. Most of the time, the hotel will provide this if it's a hotel that provides microwaves. And even two-star hotels will generally have one. Won't necessarily be a great one. And it will probably be one of the smaller varieties. It may be like 900 watts. And you need to pay attention to the food that you bring if you want to microwave it, because generally the instructions on food are based on a certain wattage of microwave. And it'll say, this was written for an 1100 watt microwave. If your microwave is only 800 watts, you need to do some math. Good luck.
Because figure it out.
Figure out how much longer to cook your food.
Yep.
Otherwise, it'll be undercooked. Not overcooked like this episode. The other thing I wanted to mention with microwaves, because microwaves are the most versatile. You can cook anything in a microwave.
In oh, yeah, absolutely.
The one thing I wanted to note, because these do exist in the world, especially for colleges, please don't use portable microwaves.
Hmm.
And by portable microwaves, I mean the ones that are like a foot cubed. They're very cute. They usually have a little carry handle on them, and they're marketed to college students. And they're usually fairly inexpensive. They're about $99. And you would think, but wait, it's like a foot cubed. Wouldn't that be perfect for a convention? Because it's small and it's personal sized and you love personal sized appliances. Why wouldn't you love this? Because those are about 600 watts at the most. And the space that's inside that you can cook is 6 inches cubed. You can't even fit a full size dinner plate inside one of those. And it will take forever to cook your food. That's why I say don't use them. It's not that you can't. Go right ahead. If you want to wait 30 minutes for your macaroni and cheese cup to finish cooking, sure. Probably not the best use of your time and money, though, to use one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have like smaller compact size microwaves that are, you know, 800-900 watts. They're still sizable. They're like 15 inches across, but they're not the full-sized home-sized microwaves that are 1100-1200 watts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the slightly smaller ones. Those are okay. But I will tell you, as someone who has actually brought their microwave, their full-size microwave to a con before, they're heavy.
they take a lot of arm strength, that's for sure. And not all hotels are okay with you bringing that as an appliance. You have to be careful.
Right.
Make sure you read the rules, because they could actually like penalize you and charge you for bringing that into your room.
Keep in mind that any of these appliances that you choose to bring are basically telegraphing to that hotel, I'm not going to spend money in your restaurant because I'm cooking my own food here. So you're basically taking money from them is what they perceive it as.
That's how they perceive it.
Right. Even if you had never intended to spend money in their restaurant anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's the perception. It looks kind of rude to them. So please be circumspect. We understand that, like us, there are many who have dietary requirements and just can't eat in hotel restaurants.
Or don't want to spend $70 for one tiny little
also
meal
true.
In a hotel restaurant.
Right. And speaking of hotel restaurants, the next appliance I have for you, because these are all my own appliances, is a waffle maker.
Oh, that's always a keen one.
You can see how small and compact this is. This is not a large appliance. But you can make all sorts of waffles with this. And this is the kind where, you know, you flip it over and it does its thing. And it has a little timer on it so that you don't have to worry about leaving it unattended, because it will beep very vigorously when it's done and let you know. But you don't just have to make standard waffles, which are still a great thing because you can get the boxed mix where it's just add water. So you don't have to refrigerate it. You don't have to microwave it. You don't have to worry about any of that. You just add water, mix, pour, push button, get pancake, or in this case, waffle.
Waffle.
Right. But you can also make dessert waffles in this. You can make savory waffles if you wanted to make sweet potato waffles. You could do that in here. It doesn't just have to be standard waffles if you don't want to. Also, if you get the accessory plates that come with this, because the plates in here are waffle shaped, obviously. It's a waffle maker. You can get grill plates or griddle plates that attach to these that make it flat. And then you can also use it as a griddle. So you can make grilled cheese or quesadilla, things like that, using the same appliance. And I am all for multi-uses of appliances. So you can bring one of these with you, and it's very, very, very useful. Also, you don't just have to eat waffles for breakfast. You can eat them for dinner, as Denny's has taught me.
Brenner is the best. Brenner is always the best, as I have learned from Scrubs.
I always wondered.
Breakfast for dinner is the best.
Yes. I love breakfast for dinner. And I've also eaten dinner for breakfast.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of breakfast, these are also great to take with you.
Yeah.
This is a smoothie maker. And the cup doubles because you just drink straight out of it once you're done mixing. This is a personal-sized one. This is meant for one person. And that's why I have it, because it's very compact. And basically, I make one serving and I consume it. I wash it out and it's ready for the next use. You can get larger ones if you want to. They also make smaller ones. They make little ninja bullets which are half the size of this cup, if you want to. They're also a lot more expensive than this one was. I have checked. But the nice thing about these is that all you have to bring is milk and fruit. That's it. If you want a healthy smoothie, you can even bring protein powder if you want to add protein to it, because remember, protein is good. You don't necessarily have to bring the kind of milk that you have to refrigerate either. If you don't have a refrigerator, you can bring evaporated milk. And then you just add water to reconstitute it, and you use it just like regular milk. Please don't use condensed milk. For those who don't know the difference between evaporated milk and condensed milk, they're both made the same way, but condensed milk is full of sugar and it's very syrupy. It's not something you probably want in your smoothie because it'll make your smoothie taste a little weird. If you're going to use milk, if you have a refrigerator, bring yogurt. And if you don't, you can bring evaporated milk with you. And that will work for smoothies. And these are great for breakfast, lunch, or as we have found out,
Brenner.
What did you call the Brenner?
Brenner.
Yeah. Yeah. They're also wonderful for Brenner and dessert. And they're one of the most compact appliances you can bring with you. Smoothie makers are, I think, the smallest of all the appliances I have listed. I'm almost done. There are only two more. This one, I've seen these in real life. I don't own one, but I was very tempted to get one for a convention going. It's called a breakfast center. What it is it's like a combination appliance. It has a toaster oven on the bottom. Right above that, it has a griddle. And then next to that, it has a coffee maker. And then in some models, on top of the coffee maker, there's a little place where you can make eggs or there's a toaster. Depends on the model. So it's meant to be an all-in-one appliance so that you don't have to bring all these separate ones. Mm-hmm. You just bring this one. And it's about the size of an electric griddle if you were to get one. So it's not a small appliance like the waffle maker or the rice cooker or the slow cooker. It's a little bit larger, but you're also getting more than one appliance. They're a little bit more expensive. The cheapest one's going to run you about $60 or $70, but you can also cook everything at once, which is also amazing. Something to keep an eye on is the wattage of those, because toaster ovens especially take a lot of power.
Yes.
They're basically mini ovens after all.
They are.
And some hotel electric sockets can't take that much power.
Mm-hmm.
And you may blow a fuse or trip a socket. And the hotel is, one, very much not going to like that. And two,
no,
depending
won't.
On how the hotel... Depending on how the hotel is wired, you may take out your neighbor's electricity too if they're all on the same line.
On the same circuit, yeah.
Yeah. So you have to be really, really careful if you're going to bring an appliance that is high-powered like toaster ovens. Whether they're big or small, it doesn't matter. They take a lot of power no matter what. This is also why some microwaves can't be used at hotels either. Mm-hmm. If they're too powerful, you may blow something in the hotel. So that's just something to think about. But they're also very, very cool. Those little breakfast stations are really cool.
They're really neat to look at. I have no use for one whatsoever, but it's just like, oh, yeah. And you get to the point where it's like, of course, this is where all technology is going towards, just an all-in-one station for your breakfast, for your lunch, for your dinner.
Yes. And then the last appliance... And we all know what this one looks like, so I don't have a picture. And I didn't bring mine because it's sitting on my counter. You can bring a toaster.
Oh, yeah. Simple, easy, convenient.
Right. Generally, toasters are pretty much just for bread and then maybe waffles, like Eggo waffles.
Oh, you can put waffles in there, yeah.
Right. But they're generally for bread or pastries. They're not multifunctional appliances like some of these other things have been. So you won't necessarily find them as useful, but they are great for having toast and waffles in the morning.
Yeah, there's some bagels, hey.
Yeah. If you really like toasted bread or toasted pastries, then go for it. You can have, you know, a set of Pop-Tarts if you want. But the toaster is last on my list because I found it least useful.
Yeah, it really limits you on what you can do. You can still have hot, toasty bread.
Right. Now... There are two things that I wanted to address because I saw these rumors on the internet. I have not done them myself and I'm not going to. And I will explain. The first is making popcorn with a hair straightener.
Oh, no! Oh, God! That sounds like a bad TikTok video.
It was a YouTube video.
Shocking.
And while, yes, you can do this, and I'm sure it works if you turn the hair straightener up high enough.
Please don't.
One, most hotels don't give you hair straighteners. They'll give you hair dryers, and that's it. You don't get hair straighteners. Two, even if you could reasonably do this, you'd only be able to cook a very small handful of kernels at a time. It would take you a half freaking hour to make yourself a personal serving of popcorn. Do you really want to do this?
I'm Googling this now.
Please don't. not don't please Google. I mean, like, please don't try this. It's not worth the pain. So I wanted to address that one first. And for that same matter, since I mentioned hair dryers, please don't use hair dryers to make food. I have not found any food for which hair dryers would be useful to actually cook them. If you want to try and heat them up, like if you want to try and heat up a baked potato with it, okay, I can see that. Hair dryers should not be used to cook the food. Please bring one of these other lovely appliances that I have shown you today, or that we have shown you graphically via the podcast. Don't use it to cook food. Okay. The second one I wanted to address, because this was also on the internet, and I have seen it. I've not done it myself, nor do I plan to, is that you can use your iron, as in the clothing iron, the thing you use to press clothing, with aluminum foil as a panini press. Again, please don't do this. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, for one. Here are two reasons why you should not do that. One is that if you've ever tried heating up aluminum foil, you may know how hot it gets, because foil is a heat conductor. You will not be able to safely touch that aluminum foil after you've ironed it for quite some time. And if you don't warn your roommates about that, oh hey, aluminum foil is hot, somebody may seriously burn themselves. The second thing, which they noted in the video that you should make sure to use enough foil to avoid this, but how can you actually know that until you've done it, is to avoid the thing that you are pressing, whether it's quesadilla, grilled cheese, panini, whatever. It will get so melty that the cheese will melt out the sides of the aluminum foil and then it gets all nasty and messy on your ironing board, which other people put their business clothing on. And it's not like you can go and launder the ironing board cover easily. Not every hotel offers laundry. Please don't do this. Don't get grilled cheese all over the ironing board because you really wanted to have a hot grilled cheese using the iron. There are other safer ways to make one, not the least of which is an actual panini press.
Yeah.
Also, somebody mentioned in chat earlier, before we had started the list of appliances, George Foreman grills.
Yeah.
Yes. Those companies make panini presses. They're very portable, they're very affordable, and they're very useful. Use one. Don't use your clothing iron, please. Because then you have to clean both the ironing board and the iron and worry about burning yourself on aluminum foil. Not to mention that irons also aren't meant to cook.
Ha ha!
They're like a hairdryer. You don't cook the food with them. You can heat it. You can't cook it. Anyways, those were the two rumors that I wanted to address when it comes to hotel cooking hacks. Please don't do those two things.
As Amber was speaking, I found a couple of them with the flat iron.
Huh? Uh-huh.
And literally, like, it works, but it is literally only, you can do, like, one or two kernels at a time. You're not going to get a whole bag out of it.
It will take you a half an hour to make a personal serving. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
No. So, now that we have addressed those things, please bear in mind that when you go to a hotel for a con, you don't have to bring any of these appliances if you don't want to.
No.
There are always options for room service.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do Instacart, DoorDash, Uber Eats, Favor, take your pick of driving service and have them deliver you food if you want it, pre-made from a restaurant, or they can bring you groceries. And you can just do the grocery thing, like I've mentioned, in your hotel room yourself. If you want to do it that way, you don't have to bring all this stuff with you. Someone can bring it to you if you would like, but remember that you also need to pay them for the privilege. So you can do that sort of thing. Also, if you are going to bring food, if you don't know whether or not there's going to be a refrigerator, please bring non-perishable food.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring PB&J. You can bring beans, canned veggies, crackers, bread, fruit, tortillas, nuts, cereal, pretzels, pudding, canned meat, granola, and milk asterisk. Please bring evaporated milk. Don't bring real milk. Or any other shelf-stable milk, in other words, is what I'm saying. So bring foods that aren't perishable. Keep in mind that some of those foods I just listed, once you open the container, whether it's like a Ziploc container or a can or whatever, once you open it, a lot of those need to be refrigerated if you can't consume all of it. And that's for food safety reasons. So if you're going to bring some of those things, like say canned vegetables, those are supposed to be refrigerated after you open the can. If you can't finish it all, you might consider making a deal with your roommates and like sharing the can among everybody in your room and have them bring something in return so that all of you can combine and make one meal between you so mm-hmm. that all of that food is consumed so that you don't have to worry about saving it. And yes, I know you can put it in a little Tupperware container and you can eat it the next morning, you can eat it the next day, and you're like, oh, it's fine. Technically, you're not supposed to do that because there is a real chance of bacteria growing on the food. And that's why they'll tell you to refrigerate it, because it slows the growth of the bacteria to the point where it won't make you sick. That's why we have refrigerators. For some food, you can get away with it. Like fruit, you don't have to refrigerate it. Beans, you can kind of get away with not refrigerating, but you really should. Veggies, you really need to refrigerate. Canned meat, you definitely need to refrigerate. Yeah. Do not take any chances with meat. Meat is the one thing that will make you sick. So if you bring canned chicken or tuna or whatever, and you can't finish the can, and you don't have a refrigerator, you need to throw it out. Or have one of your roommates eat it. And ideally, don't throw it out in your room, because again, as Val mentioned, bringing fish into the room, which includes tuna.
That includes tuna.
Room smell. And if you throw something away in the trash can in your room, it will smell if you can't refrigerate it, because the food will adjust to room temperature. And yes, that is gross and it's meant to be.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. You may want to bring trash bags with you, the kind that have the odor neutralizers built into them, so that if you do have to throw things away, you can tie it up nicely, it doesn't smell, and you keep ants away. Because ants and vermin will come after any food that you throw out.
Mm-hmm.
I know this from experience. So that is all of my research on cooking food at your hotel room. And I was about to say hotel food hacks, but they're not all really hacks.
They're not really hacks. It's just an updated version. I mean, it's good to kind of know, especially with like those Keurig or those one cup machines, that you can still do a lot of the same things. It's like, okay. Because in my brain, I'm just thinking, well, if you don't have the carafe and you don't have that hot plate, that could be kind of a challenge. But it's kind of nice to know that you could still do a lot of it.
There's a lot of pre-prepped foods that they have you can purchase now, like little pouches of pasta and things that are specifically meant for add water, get food. Because they're meant for like people on the go at work who are constantly go, go, go and don't get a lunch, or college students who may not have a kitchen at all and just kind of have to make do with a counter in their room, or people who go camping and you don't have electricity at all. And so all you're really going to have is hot water that you've heated over your camp stove to make food. They're meant specifically for those situations, and they work great when you're traveling to a hotel for conventioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found out during my research that normally when you have a Keurig, you have the little K-cups of coffee. They make K-cups of oatmeal.
They do.
And they make K-cups of soup.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually like plug in the little K-cup and get soup, proper soup, and get proper oatmeal. And they're meant for being used with the Keurigs. It's great.
It's also they're realizing, weird, but yes. But
yeah, they're realizing not everybody uses coffee or wants to drink it, but the machines can still be used. And they can make money because, you know, they're a business.
They're a business is what they're doing.
But still, it works, and it works great.
It's like, here's some hot tomato soup now. Enjoy!
And the whole point of giving you all these ideas and this information so that you can make better decisions when you go, you know, conventioning and cosplaying is so that you can put together a way that you can have better meals than what you can scrounge at a convention. Mm-hmm. Because generally, if you don't take anything with you and you're not planning on going out to eat, say at a restaurant, you're not planning on having food brought to you and you're not going to eat in the hotel restaurant and you're like, well, I'll just eat whatever I can buy on the dealer floor. That usually tends to be snacky food, like think chips, cookies, very quick snack kind of things, maybe some crackers and peanut butter if you're lucky. And then the standard like anime type snacks, like the ramen, the ramune, that sort of thing. Occasionally they'll have candies or pastries. Those are not real food. They're not meals. You can eat them as snacks. I'm not putting them down for that. Just don't expect to only subsist on those during the entirety of your convention. Mm-hmm. Please bring one of these appliances with you so that you can have a proper, hot, healthy meal, because you will feel so much better for it. You'll be able to cosplay longer when you do it in the morning because yes. You'll have the energy to get through the day, and then you will recover faster at night after that really long exhausting day of cosplaying. You will appreciate that hot meal at the end of the day. I promise you. I speak from experience. This is why I cook so many of my meals at cons, because you really are grateful for that hot meal when you're done.
Listen to the cosplay elders. There's something to be said about having a nice shower, getting your yes. 6 to 8 hours of rest, and having a good meal during the day. It makes you feel so much more refreshed and energetic that you can actually walk around the floor and do stuff and not feel like death at the end of the night.
It also helps prevent you from getting sick mm-hmm. because there will always be patient zero at the con, whether they know it or not. Yeah. They may not even know that they're carrying something. But there will always be one. And there will always be a bunch of people to get con crud after the con. And generally the folks that get it, generally, not every time, just generally, are the folks that did not sleep enough, did not eat enough, and did not take good enough care of themselves. So the better you take care of yourself at the con, the less likely that you are to get sick and the better that you will be able to fight it off. So not only will you not get sick at the con, you're less likely to get sick after the con. Mm-hmm. Plus, people won't, you know, write stories about you on their anonymous social media about how much you smell in an elevator. Because they do that. I promise you, I've seen it.
We've all seen that.
Yeah, if you're that guy that didn't shower the night before and you thought Axe body spray counted as a shower, People do write stories about you on social media.
And we share it. And depending on the size of your community, everybody knows who you are.
Oh, yeah. Con-goers know each other generally.
Oh, yeah.
But I sincerely hope that these tips have helped. Of course, if you all have anything else that you would like to add in terms of something you should bring or maybe meals that you can make or any other tips and tricks that you might have for just convention going hacks in general, feel free to join the conversation on any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For all of our video watchers, information is over there by Amber. It does not change whatsoever. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with select Nick Cage memes. I'd love to know Nick Cage's convention hacks, because I know he's been to many of them.
He doesn't need to worry about it. He's a celebrity.
Also true. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Remember, eat those healthy meals at conventions like we just taught you. Please keep working on this cosplay so that we can all use smiling, shiny faces at a convention local to us ASAP. You can tell I have not had a healthy meal yet. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 280. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.